Japan, reloaded in Dantown. We just unfolded, getting conventions, record shopping, Motoko town. Everywhere is happening, living up our dream. Sketch vinyls, Tokyo radio, our thing. Never stop, never retire. Time for tomorrow gives us a fire. Mystical world of game and wonder. Arcade centers like no other. Nostalgia, yeah, yeah. Every moment, everything you see. Wanna jump all on it, damn. Walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls. My inspiration and my energy, everything up to this point, this place has led me. Yeah, there's a place that's better. My fascination can't go on forever. So real, like a faded meeting with a brand new, new shape from beginning.
Point.
Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. I am one of your hosts, David.
And I'm Matt.
And we are at one of our regular hangout spots.
Yeah, this has become a kind of our de facto parks that go recording, but the weather's beautiful and it's a good place to record.
Yeah, Utsubo Park. It's kind of like the Central Park of Osaka, very city vibe, a lot of space, and it's never too crowded. You know, you can always find a spot, which is not something that you can always say.
Yeah, I would say it's busy right now, and which will be great because you guys will get a lot of cool background noise. You'll hear people like going by on bicycles and all that stuff. But it's not too busy that, you know, that we couldn't find a place to record that's kind of away from the bigger crowds.
That's right. So we're here today to talk to you about probably one of the most popular subjects that we've recorded on, where I think you probably, you know, I've heard of this thing before. We're not going to, like, wow you, but we hope to go to, like, a level of depth that maybe, you know, wouldn't normally be covered on this. This might be, for most people, like a five-minute topic or five-minute conversation, but there's something I think we both really like, even though they are pretty well known. And what is that, Matt?
Well, that's vending machines. Vending machines are, I mean, a kind of a staple. If you research Japan or if you've been here, you've definitely seen them. Vending machines are not just in schools or at doctor's offices and stuff like that. They're all over the place. A lot of times, apartment buildings just have a vending machine out in front of them.
Yeah, that's right. I always wonder, like, who's getting money for that, like, when it's on people's property, you know?
Yeah.
We have a friend who owns a barbershop, and he gets paid to have the vending machine right out in front of his shop.
So somebody probably approached him and asked him. Yeah. That makes sense, yeah.
But I would totally say yes to that if I own property.
I hear that, you know, the liquor shops that are around town, they often have alcohol vending machines in front of them. Yeah. And I hear that they have to own those vending machines, are they're usually like tied into the
liquor.
You need
a license,
liquor.
I assume, yeah.
Because, it's probably because of a liquor license. But, vending machines are great. I mean, it's just one of those things, like convenience stores, they're all over the place. So if you're hot outside or you need a drink, or if you're cold and you need a drink, you get a hot drink.
Yeah, there's even more vending machines than there are convenience stores.
Yeah, that I believe.
Yeah, there's some crazy stats out there. Like, there's more vending machines than people in Japan. And I forget what it is. But
I don't know about that.
There's a really crazy one like that. And it's true. That's a stereotype that it's true about Japan, is there are vending machines everywhere. Sometimes, you know, you're in nature and you kind of don't want there to be a vending machine there. Like, you're up on a mountain or something and they are there. I don't know. To me, I really like them, and I'm always kind of thirsty. I'm a thirsty person in general. So I don't think I've ever really felt like, oh, I wish this vending machine wasn't here kind of thing. But I have friends that are, you know, more into the natural side of things, and they seem to get annoyed by the amount of vending machines sometimes.
I think it's awesome. When we were talking about the Kyoto episode, we just did a Kyoto episode, and we talked about that our friend Tom and I, we went up to one of the big temples, and we were kind of like in the back of woods, and we found this vending machine. We just sat there and we had like a great time. We were like, hey, let's get a coffee. And, you know, and it's
convenient.
That convenience is just incredible. I never leave the house thinking, oh, I better take a water bottle with me. I'm going to be thirsty in 20 minutes. I better drink a lot of water. If I go out, I just buy 100 yen bottle of water, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, is like compared to the convenience store, I think the price might be like 5% more, if even. Sometimes I feel like they're the same price, you know?
No, I tend to find that vending machines are less.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You could get... there's some vending machines that advertise that they're 100 yen or 50 yen.
They're like special ones.
You know, they're like special ones.
And the 50 yen ones are a bit...
those are more rare.
Brands that you don't see ever any other way. Yeah.
And, I mean, the bottle of water you're going to get is probably an off-brand. It's not one you would get at a convenience store. But, I mean, for 100 yen, you could typically get a bottle of water. Yeah. I'd say even at the more expensive vending machines, water costs like 110 yen. So it's never that much more. Yeah, I mean, it's comparable to convenience store.
Usually $1, $1.03 or something.
$1.08 in tax, Osaka, yeah. I guess. I do Osaka tax, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, your main staple that you're going to see is drinks. You know, that's 90% of the vending machines out there are going to be drink ones. And you see, like, they're owned by typically the big companies out here, like Asahi or Kirin, and they offer all their products inside there. Those are totally everywhere. I think sometimes you don't have a convenience store. Like, I've seen some towns, and I thought, like, if I lived here, what would I do? I think I'd have to come to this vending machine every day, because I use the convenience store so often that it is kind of like a stand-in replacement of a convenience store, like a lesser convenience store. But I'm trying to think. When I used to come out here on vacation, I would hit the vending machine like 2 or 3 times a day, because I was just out walking every day. Now in my daily life, I probably go maybe just once a week, and it's usually for water.
Yeah, I find that, when I was traveling, it was really convenient, and I used it a lot more. I used vending machines a lot more.
What do you get if you're not getting water when you're traveling out here?
Well, I typically get coffees, so I'll get Boss Coffee.
I never drink that stuff anymore.
I used to occasionally will get a coffee, yeah. But Boss Coffee, Pepsi.
I love the milk tea,
you know?
Too.
Yeah.
I used to get that.
There's one I used to get in Tokyo called Pungency. And yeah, I thought that was a really funny name for
milk
tea.
Like that was a seasonal one. They only had it for like a year or two. I haven't seen it in about a year.
Man, that was a strong milk tea. Yeah.
Funny name.
Yeah. And then there was, another legendary, drink that I used to get from the vending machines. It was a pancake flavored vending machine drink. These days you can't find it. It was probably a seasonal thing as well.
All our friends have been on a hunt for it from Matt.
Yeah.
He's always talking about it. But
I got it in Osaka actually. It was my first trip to Osaka is where I found it. And I really enjoyed it. I think now my tastes have kind of changed and it might be too sweet for me. Yeah. But if I find it again, I'll definitely buy it.
Got to, yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's interesting. Like, you do see these one-offs, you know, like you go to your normal vending machine, and I would say 80% of them are always the same, but then there's, like, these two little slots, you know, and those are, like, rotating, like, seasonal drinks or something new, and sometimes there's just crazy things that catch my eye. Like, there was an ice cream one recently, and it just honestly tasted like melted down soft-serve ice cream. Like, the stuff...
The drink was self-serve. Flavored, right?
Soft serve, yeah.
Yeah.
This is like, it was like the stuff you'd pour into a soft serve ice cream machine.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was so rich and thick. I loved it. I would buy it again, but then I went back a week later and it was gone. So it's kind of a thing in Japan. They really like seasonal things, even in their vending machines.
Yeah. And like you were saying, sometimes you go to a vending machine and you're like, I don't recognize any of these drinks.
Yeah.
Because they are like off brand. And you'll see, there's a lot, this one in particular that does a lot of energy drinks. Have you seen this one? And I'm trying to remember.
They have one called like Life Guard.
Yeah,
with
Life
Guard. Like a camo all
yes,
over it. Yeah,
yes.
It's very intense. That stuff's good, actually. I tried it once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't had that yet, but that's the exact one I was talking about.
Life Guard. Yeah. It's a very manly looking drink.
Yeah, but you'll often see like some weird drinks. Like might not even be a drink. It might be like porridge, or during the winter, get
corn soup.
Corn soup, I get corn soup or onion soup.
And there's a red bean soup too.
Yeah.
I'll get those if I'm desperate. If I'm really hungry and freezing cold.
Yeah.
I don't really they're good. They don't sound good to me, but you know.
I like the corn soup a lot.
It hit the spot.
Yeah, I stopped and I got corn soup probably about, I'd say 7 or 8 times this winter.
This last winter?
Yeah.
I got it like twice. desperate times. Mm.
And then another thing that's cool about vending machines in Japan is, and I've talked about this on one of our Japan 2.0 myths, was that some of them have a game. It's like a slot machine game.
I still have never seen this in 4 years.
Oh, really?
I've never noticed it. I'm sure it's been
all over. I've done it a bunch of times. So a lot of them have these digital counters that are in front of the machine, and when you put your money in, the digital counter goes through, you know, like a slot machine, you know? And if you get 777, then you get a free drink. And in my Japan 2.0 miss, I said that I've never won a drink. You know, I wondered if it was even possible. But since then, I keep going to one machine, and this machine, I'd say one out of three times, I win something.
It's because you said on our show that you didn't win.
Yeah.
Someone changed it.
Yeah. So
what do you win? A free drink?
Yeah, you get a free drink. So, I mean, a lot of people, they probably win something and they just walk away. They don't notice.
Yeah, like me.
But if you get like 3-3-3-3 and then, or 7-7-7, I don't know how many sevens I did, but... three of a kind, seven of a kind, whatever. you'll get...
three of a kind.
Three of a kind. No, it's four of a kind.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's four of a kind is what it is. But if you get four of a kind, then you win something.
Ah.
So I often get I'll get a water, like 100 yen water, and then I'll win another 100 yen water. Or I'll get tea,
nice.
win a water to go along with it.
Yeah,
I was stocking up for a while there.
I would say too, like these basic, we're just kind of sticking on the basics for this first half. The style compared to what we're used to, you know, in the States where Matt and I are both from, what's inside of the machines is quite different. I mean, I guess we're kind of alluding to that slowly, but back home, you're going to go to a vending machine and 80% of it's going to be carbonated drink, like sodas and pops, right?
Yeah.
Around here, they'll have that, but I'd say it's 10 to 20%. It's your same Coke or Pepsi, you know, maybe Sprite.
Yeah,
I don't drink that. So
they have Skull, which is
S K A L.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is it?
Skull is like
it's like Sprite and
it's
milk,
like,
right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like Kalpis. How's it different from Kalpis?
Yeah, Kalpis. So Kalpis is like a I would say it's like a carbonated or sometimes uncarbonated
milk
soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something to compare it to from back home.
Most people who listen to this one know Kalpis.
Yeah, but Kalpis is very popular.
Calpico is called sometimes too.
They
tried to get away from Kalpis because it sounds like cow piss.
Yeah, I think in Western countries they might call it Calpico.
Yeah.
But and in Korea that was called Milkis, which was the similar one.
It was a different, their own take on it. Yeah.
It was, but it's very similar.
Yeah.
And but that
anyway,
drink
is Scal.
Yeah,
like that.
That drink is, I think that one might actually have a citrus flavor to it.
I hadn't heard of Scal until I moved here.
Yeah, it's in the vending machines, but I don't see it in a lot of other places.
Like
I guess convenies have it too.
Yeah.
But
they'll have like Fanta sometimes, but the Fanta tastes different here than it does back home. There's actually more juice in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice actually.
Yeah, I like the Fanta out here.
Oh, they like aloe drinks too. A lot of times you'll see like aloe.
Yeah, with little bits of aloe, jelly.
Yeah, gel.
Yeah.
And that's, in general, you'll see jelly, you shake it up, and then it breaks it into these little gel pieces. And if I'm really hungry, actually, and that's the best I can find is a vending machine, I'll get that just because I'm hungry, and I'm like, all right, this is kind of like I'm chewing on something.
Mm. One of my favorites is all the hot chocolates.
Oh,
so,
cocoa,
Yeah, there's a lot of hot chocolate drinks that you could get from the vending machines, or you can get cold chocolate as well.
Mm.
But I really like the Meiji hot chocolate drink. It's really good.
They come in a juice box sometimes, right?
Yeah. That's really good. And then, like you were saying, sometimes you could get alcoholic drinks.
Right,
I mentioned it at the beginning of the
show. These are separate machines. They wouldn't be mixed in with all the other drinks we're talking about. And like Matt said before, they're usually connected to an alcohol shop. So the reason you'd go is if the alcohol shop's not open, like on a Sunday or late at night or something, then you could still go there. And these prices are higher than in the shop.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 20% higher or so.
Yeah, I think I could get like the one by my house. Yeah. You could get a Kirin, like one of the lesser beers, like the Comfortable Times Kirin,
the
green label, you know?
Hoppo Shoe, yeah.
And that stuff is like $250.
Yeah.
you know.
Normally a real beer, a regular Kirin would cost that amount.
But some of the vending machines, the alcohol vending machines, have bottles of wine or bottles of sake.
Or
like
whiskey.
Huge bottles.
Huge bottle, like a 2-liter bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
Yeah, those are kind of more rare, but in the older parts of town, you could still find those.
Yeah, I get excited.
Actually, I know a place where I could probably find a picture of those. And
I have a lot of good pictures for this episode.
Oh,
so I like to collect pictures of weird vending machines. And there's a lot of crazy, like, sake and whiskey ones that look like they're, like, 50-year-old machines, you know. They're really nice. They're, like, relics of the past, you know. And I can't pass those up without taking a picture. I've never used them because I'm not crazy about those two drinks, you know. But the machines just look great. Like a time warp, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Some other things that I've seen in just normal drink vending machines have been, recently I was in, I would think it was in Kyoto where I saw this, but they had a vending machine, and I believe I put this photo on our Instagram, the Japan 2.0 Instagram, but it was of, what's the name of that, the orange, I don't know why it's slipping my name, I just had Mikan. No, it's ponzu sauce.
Okay.
Or,
oh, that was like, you. Yeah.
Ponzu sauce. Yeah. It was a vending machine that had these jars of, or these bottles of ponzu sauce that you could get from the machine. At first, I thought it was soy sauce.
Was that the only thing it sold, or was it mixed?
No. It was just a regular drink vending machine, and except then, it had this little corner, and it said like, and it had a picture of a guy, like it was his regional, you know, specialty, and it had ponzu sauce. And I was tempted to buy a bottle of that, but it was actually pretty expensive. I think it was like a couple. Well, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look. But I remember there was a reason why I didn't get it. But
I love ponzu sauce, but I don't know if I'd ever need it from a vending machine.
But who knows? You know, I mean,
if
maybe
it was in your neighborhood,
day,
then yeah, totally. I guess. That's about all I have on drinks, just sticking at drinks. I guess one more thing is that there are digital vending machines, too. I don't see them out where we live in Kansai very much, but when I go to Tokyo, they're pretty common there. And it's, you don't actually see the can that you're buying, you know, it's just like a computer screen.
Yeah, I'm around a lot of Aeon malls, or Aeon malls.
Yeah.
And the Aeon malls have them.
Okay.
Yeah, and they'll have, sometimes they'll have, they'll be showing a bit of like a Disney cartoon or something. While it shows all the
like an ad or something,
yeah, like an advertisement for like cable TV or something, but yeah, I've never used one of those.
Yeah, I've never used one either.
Yeah, I'm gonna get a little nervous when it's all digital.
They look cool. I feel like I'm in Japan. It's one of those moments. It's like, oh yeah, I live in Japan when I see that stuff.
It's like space age. It's like a touch screen and
yeah
it's pretty cool.
Nice. We want to take our break and then come back and talk about some of the more specialized, one-off, kind of weirder vending machines that we've seen.
Oh yeah, and we've seen some good ones. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Drink of the show time.
Yeah, so
we've done some of these before where we have like a special snack that we buy from the convenience store usually, and this one is perfect for the episode about vending machines because I talked about, this just came from my normal vending machine out in Kobe, regular machine, you know, with Coke and normal water, and then all of a sudden I saw, caught my eye, this yellow color and an old man with a beard on it. And it's called Beard Papa's Fresh and Natural Cream Puff. And it's in a small little can. It's about a third of the size of a regular, like, Coke can. This is, like, a normal size drink in Japan sometimes for these specialty drinks.
Yeah.
They're small.
I often get Coke in this size because I don't drink that much soda. But, like, when I do want a soda.
It's 100 grams.
Yeah. I get, like, the 100-gram cans.
We're going to save Beer Papa for another episode, for a Know Your Chain segment. But the short of it is that it's a cream puff place out here.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine what a drink of a cream puff would taste like.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this restaurant, so I'm really looking forward to trying these. I mean, this is awesome, David.
Yeah.
Cool,
so
cool find.
We ate at this place in Korea. So we've known about it for about 8 or 9 years now. So let's open it up.
All right.
And we'll give you our impressions. Probably will never be able to drink this unless you're in Japan, like right when this episode comes out.
But yeah, it's one of those seasonal drinks that you'll probably never see again. Kanpai.
Kanpai. Ooh, sweet, all right.
Oh, yeah.
It's about what I'd expect.
To be honest, it kind of tastes like that pancake drink that I mentioned at the beginning. Yeah.
When I saw this, number one, Matt really likes Beard Papa more than anyone else I know. And he's always talking about that pancake drink. So I got really, really excited.
This is one of the coolest things.
Because I knew he would appreciate it. It's thinner than I thought. It's more, maybe. So we're drinking it warm. It should probably be drink cold, but I've had it been out all day. But don't you think it's a little thinner?
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little creamier, but
it definitely has a creamy flavor, but it just tastes a little watered.
Yeah, it looks pretty clear. I mean, just judging by what I could see,
so it tastes like a watered down the custard that's inside of these things. It tastes like a watered down version of that to me.
Yeah, what it reminds me of is, have you ever had the canned melt, the condensed melt?
Yeah, you do like a pie with or something, right?
Yeah, yeah, and you punch it open and then you pour it out and it kind of comes out kind of caramely.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of, except maybe a little, yeah, a little watered down or a little lighter.
If you've ever had Jelly Belly's butter popcorn, the white one with the yellow spots on it.
Yeah.
It has a hint of that going on too.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. It's definitely sweet.
It's vanilla like flavor.
Yeah. I think I would get it again. Unless I was like really craving, I miss my ice cream or my regular like sweet of the day.
I think if you live out in the boonies and you have the one vending machine, yeah, you'd get this. But for a little variety. But I would say that there are better drinks you could get from vending machines. I wouldn't say this is bad.
This is similar to the soft serve ice cream one I was talking about, except it's not as rich. And this is still pretty rich, but this has more of like a slight aftertaste to it or something, I think. There's a slight artificialness to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's lots of artificial things in it, but sometimes you can get away with that. But
I think they try to replicate the flavor. And so, whatever it is we're tasting, maybe it's like, it's all chemicals these days. I'm sure this was created in a lab somewhere. But I would say, I would say it's not bad.
It's not bad.
And I would say that if you squint your taste buds, you can kind of taste a cream puff in there,
Yeah.
It's not dissimilar.
I guess we should have done it blind maybe, but let's say out of 5, 3 is an average drink.
Yeah.
You get, to me, it's like a 3.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I would say this is average. I would say 3. Straight 3.
Well,
Beard Papa.
There it is. Beard Papa, cream puff, and a can.
Yeah. The can is awesome, though. I really like the design. Nice. Yeah.
And he's got a really fat nose.
He does.
Maybe this will be our... We'll put this photo up.
Yeah.
On our Instagram.
We'll take some photos of this.
All right. Well,
when we come back, we'll talk more about some of the more left field vending machines that we've come across. Yeah. So stay tuned.
We are back. So I would say like you do see some one-off vending machine, left field vending machines, but they are more rare than I think I thought that they would be coming out here, It's again kind of a cliche topic, but like Japan has these wacky weird vending machines, and in general, I'd say I'd see one of these special ones that aren't just the normal drink ones, maybe once a month or maybe once every other month.
Yeah, some of the vending machines that I heard of before I came to Japan were, there are a couple of classics. One was a ramen vending machine that I had read about on a blog or in a video game magazine or something. Another was the book magazines, or book vending machines, the ones that have, you could press the button, get a comic book, or get a book.
Mm.
And then the last one is kind of an infamous one, and I figured we might as well bring this up now, but
it's on people's minds, I'm sure.
Yeah, the panty vending machines.
Yeah, women's panties. How many of those three have you seen?
So I've seen two of those three.
Okay.
I've seen the ramen vending machine, and I've bought ramen from the vending machine. I'll just go into that real quick. It's really cool.
Yeah, where was it?
This is in Akihabara.
Okay.
Yeah, the electronics district in Tokyo, and I was looking for a ramen vending machine for a long time, and I found it, and it's really cool. It comes out of the machine hot, and it comes with a fork. A folding fork that you take off the side and you fold it into place. It clicks it into place, and you take off the top, and then you just scoop out the noodles.
Would this just be like top ramen style, like the instant ramen you go get at the convenience store, or was it like closer to one you get at a restaurant?
I would say it was trying to replicate the ones that you get at the restaurant.
Meat or vegetables?
It had like some bamboo and some green onions and things like that, but it didn't have that much. It was mostly
noodles and broth.
Noodles and broth, yeah.
I'm guessing it sounds like a classy instant ramen.
Yeah, exactly. It was a classy instant ramen. I would agree with that. So that was one I found. And then the other one that I found was the panty vending machines.
I kind of couldn't believe it when Matt told me, because I'd lived here for about 2 years at that point. I totally thought it was a myth. I didn't think they existed at all.
And in all the places that, I mean, we've traveled to a lot of shady places in Japan. Like, I mean, Asakusa is considered kind of like a skeezier neighborhood in, you know, Tokyo. I mean, relatively. And Akihabara, definitely, is kind of considered skeezy. And I've been to both those places, and I never saw these machines. And, you know, you'd imagine I was looking for vending machines. I wasn't looking for those vending machines, but...
You would notice this if you're an observant person. Matt and I came from more dangerous areas, so we tend to scan the scene more than your average person. We would have noticed it, for sure. How was the area you found this one in?
Yeah, so I was living in a rougher area in Osaka when I first moved here. And, I was just going by this this adult bookstore, DVD shopper, and they had the panty vending machines. And I kind of couldn't believe it either, because I thought it was kind of, you know, it existed at one point, but it's kind of become, a myth.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to find those.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need to go into them.
We weren't super fans of it or anything, but I did ask Matt, can you just show it to me? Just because I kind of couldn't believe it. And there it was. Not much else you do, but then walk away and shake your head.
Yeah, and say, I can't believe this exists. You know, but.
So something to transition that's much more rare than I thought it would be like food vending machines in general. I kind of thought that would be all the time, but like every day if I went out I'd see a vending machine. That, to be honest, in the States actually, you know, food vending machines are pretty common, like candy and candy bars and all that, and you really don't see that stuff out here.
Yeah, it's not that common. I find that some subway stations do have food vending machines, and you could get things like Calorie Mates or, cookies or
isn't
stuff.
It isn't high. It'd be like all Calorie Mates in one machine, like a little small machine, you know?
Yeah, very rarely do you come across one that has chips. And, like, a lot of times you go to one and it just has, like, sweet snacks. It doesn't have anything that's, like, savory or salty. Mm. And then you'll go to another machine and all they have is a couple of, like, chips and, you know, not a big variety.
I'd say the one I see most regularly, and it's not at all normal, but it's just like a train station I go to a lot, is Namba. There's an apple machine with like bags of cut apples. That one is awesome because, you know, it's nice to find like healthy food on the go like that. But that's not normal. That's the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah, that one's really bizarre. I know exactly that machine. Yeah,
it's a nice machine and everything. Like it's very modern.
And the apples look like fresh. They must use some preservatives or something.
I've seen those same bag apples at a convenience store as well.
Okay.
But they are rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be preservatives. They taste good, though, I bought them.
One of my favorites is the Family Mart vending machine that's also in Osaka.
That's great. There's a couple all around us. I've seen a couple of those around Osaka.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's good.
What there's one near Namba.
Do they sell anything special in there?
I mean, they have sandwiches and like all these meals, onigiri, you know, you could get some cutlets or some sushis, and I mean, I don't know how often they stock it, but I imagine they have to do it. Yeah.
Every day, yeah.
But, that's a really cool vending machine. It's big. It takes up like a whole wall. Look, at first when you walk by it, you might think it's like lockers or something. But no, it's just like this big Family Mart vending machine.
Yeah. Rest stops, if you've ever been to a rest stop in Japan, those are kind of cool areas in general that we could talk a lot about maybe for a segment. But that's where you'll find a lot of special vending machines, a lot of food vending machines there.
Okay.
Things that would make like ramen and hot soups and things. So, like that, but I don't have a ton of experience using them. I've kind of just seen them from afar, you know. But that would be a place we're gonna find more food ones. But yeah, the food is definitely rare. Ice cream. My school actually has an ice cream vending machine in it.
Yeah, we've talked about those in the past.
Comes out cold, which is nice.
Yeah, I like the mint ice creams that come from those things. They actually have a pretty big selection of ice creams.
17 flavors is what they advertise.
Yeah, at least it's not bad.
That's the big brand. It's called like, 17 flavors.
Like half of 31, or.
But I always complain because they always have doubles. So there's 17 buttons you can hit. Usually there's actually only like 12 there.
14. Oh, like vanilla is there twice. Yeah. Okay.
But
yeah, I'm trying to think of some other odd ones around. I mean, we've talked about.
That's all. We don't have to.
Yeah,
we don't have to push it.
I can't elaborate.
That's pretty much it. We've gone 30 minutes on again a topic a lot of people just go five minutes into.
Yeah, I would say if you're interested, probably look up old Kotaku articles. They're at kotaku.com, and I know they've done a lot on vending machines. You know, you should check them out.
It's something that keeps me excited because I know like there's wacky ones, cool ones out there that I haven't seen, and you're bound to run into them eventually, you know?
Yeah, and because they're kind of rare, like
you get excited.
You get excited when you see a cool one. Yeah.
Well, some of the rarest types would be handmade vending machines up near Nakatsu, near our friend's cafe.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
This wooden box made by hand, and it has like I don't know, like homemade little items inside, like sock warmers and stuff like that.
All like wood and like springs and
it
stuff.
It looks like
yeah.
It's falling. It could, if I like push it too hard, it'd fall apart, you know?
Yeah.
So stuff like that, yeah. When you see that, you get excited. And every time I walk by it, you know, I kind of peek in there and see what's going on.
Didn't you have a student that did a vending machine for Halloween?
Halloween costume, yeah. It was really, really good. It had all the drinks, like cut half of the bottles inside the clear, like plastic sheet.
That's a great idea.
It was so cool. It's great. And every year since then, I'm always like anticipating his outfit, but it's never been as good as that.
Just today, I was walking by a vending machine, and they still had like some Halloween flavored something. It had like a pumpkin can. I should have picked one of those up, actually.
I've seen the vending machines decorated, the interior of them, like for Christmas time, when we were in Tokyo on our Christmas, someone to put, what do you call it, like the green stuff, not a wreath, but garland, is it garland?
Oh, yeah,
someone
like
garland on the inside of it, where the drinks are, and I was just wondering who did that, is it like just the worker, just adding some flair, or is it like the owner of the machine or whatever, but yeah,
I rarely see the guys refilling them, but... I see it more than I do
back home, I think.
Well, I mean, there's a lot more vending machines, the chances are better. But I wonder if they really make a lot of money.
Sure, they do.
I heard that vending machines are supposed... They're shutting down. Like, they have more modern vending machines,
mm-hmm.
are trying to consume less power.
Okay.
So when you leave them and they have sensors, they'll go to low power mode, and then they'll turn on it. And go into high power mode when you come back, which is cool.
It is one of those things, like you picture Japan, you picture all these neon lights, you know? I would say the whole neon light thing, maybe I've just lived here too long, but I think that's a bit blown out of proportion unless you're in like really special areas. But the glow of a vending machine, you know, I definitely see a lot at night. You know, I walk in and the vending machines do kind of light up the path because there are so many of them.
And when you see Tommy Lee Jones advertising Boss Coffee and his illuminated face,
you know everything's going to be all right.
It just, you know, gives you that warm feeling, you know. In Japan, they call it Natsukashi. You know, some nostalgic feelings.
Yeah.
And every time I see
Tommy Lee
on the Boss Coffee machine, I get a little Natsukashi.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a wrap on vending machines. Hopefully we taught you something new about them or gave you some good tips. But
If you guys have questions about vending machines, you know, send them our way. We're always happy to correspond with our listeners. You can find us all over the internet. We're at Japan 2.0 on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're also available on iTunes, where you could subscribe and leave us a review.
Yep, that'd be great.
We appreciate hearing from everybody. If you want to ask us about a drink, you know, we'll probably try it for you on the air.
Yeah.
So, you know, just let us know. Mm. And, we're happy to always correspond with you guys.
Yep, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And look forward to the next episode.
Yeah. You got a song, David?
I got a song. So this is a girl. You know, we talk about Shibuya K a lot on this show. And there's kind of, I feel like, a rebirth of Shibuya K going on. And this girl would be a part of that. It's not like 100% the way it used to be, you know. It's kind of putting the modern twist on it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna probably butcher her name because she's French Japanese, but her name is Maika Laut, Loubte, and the song is called Open Me. Yeah, and she's very, like, sounds homemade, you know, like she's probably doing all the music and all the singing and production herself and everything. And it's a very fun, upbeat song. Good for a park like we are today.
Yeah,
and
for the setting.
A lot of her tracks are really, really cool, and she tours out here. I don't know where she lives or anything, but she's out here all the time, so I'm assuming she lives here. And I saw her like little EP at the Tsutaya bookstore, and it came with like a book like she made for like $15. So again, very like handmade stuff, and her music videos are pretty cool. So check her out. Hope you like this song. And we'll see you next time.
Yep. See ya.
See ya. Do you feel?